Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Lucy Hickmott.
It's Tuesday, the 25th of February. Coming up, young children are being banned from heading the ball in football training.
What we know from the research tells us is that repetitive head injury over long periods of time can cause various sorts of brain damage that can lead to conditions such as dementia.
People with an incurable disease are facing a postcode lottery when it comes to treatment.
I'm selling everything I can in order to pay for the equipment. It's just so intrinsically unfair that some people get this and some people don't.
And in boxing, Kent promoters hoping to see Tyson Fury take on Anthony Joshua.
He has profile to pro professional boxing, but not just in England, because the two British fighters, in the whole world, because all the belts are on the line.
Kent News.
First today, young children in Kent are no longer going to be able to head the ball during football training as part of new rules being introduced by the FA. It's after a major study looked into the impact in a bid to reduce the number of players developing brain conditions like dementia later in life. Joe's been chatting to Dr. Jeff Coey from the University of Kent on KMTV.
I don't think it was a surprise. This has been a little time coming. We were kind of aware that this report was going to come out. It was a funded study by Glasgow Institute, and this is kind of the FA's response to quite a big piece of research that was done. The first thing I'll go out and say is that there is no link in the report between a heading and young children. This is a preventative, precautionary measure taken by the FA.
Is it a case of more the fact that we haven't been able to look at it over a long term to see if these two things are linked, basically?
Yeah, well, there have been ongoing studies around dementia, around footballers with head injuries, with CTE, chronic traumatic encephaly previously. So this research has been going on for a number of years now, but we just haven't been able to make as substantive links. This is the first large-scale study that's kind of demonstrated that there could potentially be a link. But what's most interesting is that this is now being picked up by the FA and then being brought into the guidelines and the so-called ban on head.
Yeah, let's take a look at actually some of the guidelines and what it will do. So the guidance covers training for all age groups between under 6 and under 18, no heading in training in primary school ages, and then headers will gradually get more frequent in training. So under 12 teams and up, they'll be started. They have one session a month with a maximum of 5 headers. Very specific stuff. But does that change the way we've been teaching football for years?
No, and I'm glad you picked up on kind of this graduated approach. It doesn't really change anything on the ground. Young people will still be introduced to football in the same way. They'll still be taught the same sorts of skills. It's just that heading won't be the priority. It never was a priority in football training. It was never an integral part to how young children were to play the game. That it happened in young children's football was par for the course. It's always there. It doesn't mean that it's going away at all.
I suppose, they said that there's no ban necessarily in the matches or things like that, because I think in some five-a-sides you see no overhead height, but it's nothing like that yet, is there?
No, and this is all just about regulation and just precautionary measures. So no one's saying young children shouldn't hit the ball, but not to make that a key feature.
Will it get to that?
I don't think it will get to that draconian kind of measure, because at the moment there are no bans in play. There are no kind of fines or penalties in place for if this happens. All they're saying is that in training for the age group under 11s, that this shouldn't be happening, and then we'll look at increasing it more gradually between the ages of 12 to 16.
Kent Online reports.
In other news, a man's been charged by police investigating a fatal crash in Dartford. A 20-year-old woman from the town who was a passenger in a car died when it collided with another vehicle in East Hill last June. Her mum was also injured. The 39-year-old from Greenhithe is due in court later this month, accused of several offences, including causing death by dangerous driving. Two Sheppey men have been jailed for helping to smuggle 29 Vietnamese migrants into the UK. The courts heard the group, which included women and children, were treated like cattle when they were brought to Cornwall in a boat and put into the back of a van. The men, who are both 63, have been locked up for a total of almost 8 years. The speed limit's been lowered on a stretch of the A28 between Canterbury and Ashford after two fatal crashes. A 21 and 74-year-old were hit by vehicles in Chartham within 8 months of each other. That part of the road's now been reduced to 40 miles per hour.
Kent Online News.
Now, a former Kent teacher says she's worried someone will have to die before anything's done about the postcode lottery people face when trying to get treatment for Addison's disease. Sally Schofield used to work at a school in Bromley before she was diagnosed with the incurable condition, which stops the supply of some hormones. She became ill when taking the tablets prescribed on the NHS and has spent thousands of pounds on a special pump and equipment, which has been given out for free elsewhere in the UK. She wants health bosses to make it available everywhere.
They denied funding on the premise of cost. They say it's too expensive. They cite the NICE guidelines and say that it's not within the done protocol to give the pump to people like me because there hasn't been enough research done on the delivery method. But there are people I know via the Facebook groups that I belong to. There's a lady in Bath who has a pump that has been given to her by her endocrinologist. There's a lady in Sheffield. There's a lady in Dorset. There's a man in Cornwall. And they've all been given the exact same pump for the exact same condition because their endocrinologist has been brave enough and kind enough and whatever enough to allow them to use it. And then they don't have to pay for it. I've paid for the pump. However, the running costs of the pump are ongoing and they're massive. You have to buy tubing and needles and cleansing equipment and all sorts of things, which some people get on the NHS and I'm having to pay for. And it's not fair. It's not equal. It doesn't make any sense because this is life-saving equipment. It's not on a whim. This is actually life-saving equipment and it's saving the NHS money. So it makes no sense in the long run as to why they hide behind guidelines that, let's face it, can be broken at any point because they have been across the country. The running costs are about £200 a month. I'm not working anymore because of my Addison's disease. I was so ill, I had to give up my job. I've sold my car, I've sold my saucepans, I'm selling my jewellery, I'm selling everything I can in order to pay for the equipment that is essentially saving my life every month. But it's just so intrinsically unfair that some people get this and some people don't.
Kent News.
Elsewhere today, a Margate carer who stole hundreds of pounds from elderly patients has avoided being sent to jail. Zoe Brooks was caught after a client put a hidden camera in the bedroom while she was nursing his terminally ill wife. The 31-year-old from Appledore Close has been given a suspended sentence. A group of teenagers are considering taking legal action after not being paid by the frozen drinks company where they worked at Bluewater. Loud Slurp has now closed, but some workers say they haven't had 3 months' worth of wages. We've been unable to contact the company or any former managers. And two singers from The Voice are going to perform at a charity fundraising night in Kent. Season 3 finalist Jamie Johnson and Millie Bowell, who's on this year's show, will be at Rochester and Cobham Park Golf Club next Saturday. The event's raising money for baby loss charity Abigail's Footsteps.
Kent Online Sport.
On to boxing now, and a Kent promoter says a much-anticipated fight between Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua would do wonders for the sport. There's speculation over who Fury will fight next after winning the WBC title from Deontay Wilder at the weekend. Joe Elfied has been on Team Talk on KMTV.
To be honest with you, I thought Tyson Fury would be on his A game now, and the better opponents he gets, he always turns it on, and we can see that with the Klitschko when he boxed him. His last fight before that, when he got caught, he boxed a not bad kid, but he wasn't. I think he underestimated him. So you'll see the best of Tyson Fury when he boxes the better opponents.
Yeah, you talk better opponents. Now we've got a bit of a headache, I suppose, in the sense that everyone wants a Joshua-Fury fight to happen. Do you think that will happen? Or as a promoter, is that a logistical nightmare in the contract, the fact that he might have to go and have a rematch with Wilder again?
I think in the contract it states that he's got to vacate the belt or go back, put it back on the line against Wilder. So in my eyes, Wilder, I can't see him turning that down. But after that fight, Wilder might go back and say, look, I want a few warm-up fights before I start going back after that belt. And that enables Tyson Fury to go for the manager position, which is, it makes sense to go with the Joshua fight.
How massive is that Joshua fight?
Oh, massive for England. It adds profile to pro professional boxing, but not just in England, because the two British fighters, in the whole world because all the belts are on the line.
That's it for now, but don't forget you can go to kentonline.co.uk for more news throughout the day.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.